Voice of St. Louis original podcast.
Today is Monday, October 14th. I'm Michael Calhoun. Our top local story, St. Louis police are now displaying what crimes are taking place where on their website.
St. Louis City Police Chief Robert Tracy says bringing crime mapping back to the police department's website is another way they can work on being more transparent with the community.
Everybody thinks we're hiding information, and if we say crime is down, and then they can't have access other than numbers on a CompStat sheet that do comparative analysis, this actually just brings it to an area.
Chief Tracy says crime mapping alone likely won't change people's perception of crime in St. Louis City. However, he does say that this is just another layer of information that people can access to make decisions about how they feel about crime in St. Louis. In St. Louis City, Sean Malone, KMOX News.
St. Louis police are not saying how a handcuffed suspect held in the back of a police vehicle Friday was able to steal that police car and drive off.
Police spotted the vehicle, got in a foot pursuit. St. Louis police spokesman Mitch McCoy says several people were taken into custody, including a 23-year-old placed in the back of the police car.
Being handcuffed behind his back, he was seat belted in the back seat of our patrol car. At some point, he slipped out of his handcuffs, and he was able to get into the driver's seat of a marked police SUV.
And the suspect then crashed the police SUV at Osage in Illinois. He was taken to the hospital. However, there, he slipped his handcuffs again. However, police caught him before he could run. McCoy says they have a pretty good idea of how the suspect got out of the cuffs, but they're not saying. Maria Kina, KMOX News.
A young paramedic was found dead this morning in St. Charles County. 27-year-old Michael Clark was found unresponsive in his bedroom inside the station near the end of his 48-hour shift. His coworkers performed CPR as he was taken to a hospital where he died. Clark was honored earlier this year for saving the life of a man who'd suffered a sudden cardiac arrest. Chief Kelly Cope says Clark is being remembered for his kindness. Is there a frost in our future? Let's go to KMOX meteorologist Dave Murray.
Michael, no question, the October feel is back with a big dome of Canadian high pressure right over us, and our best chance for areas of frost away from the urban environment will be late Tuesday night into early Wednesday morning. That's pretty close to where we should be. The average for the first frost here in St. Louis is October 23rd. The earliest is October 7th, and the latest is November 13th.
18 tenants of the Ridgecrest Apartments in Shrewsbury, which went up in flames last week, are students at Webster University. John Buck is the dean of students.
Gratefully, I'm happy to let you know that they all were able to evacuate the building and no injuries, but it did leave them with next to nothing. The fire engulfed the building in many places, and so most of their belongings were a total loss.
There's a link at KMOX.com to a donation page. Details on a deadly crash on a notoriously dangerous stretch of I-44.
A fatal crash involving a wrong-way driver had westbound 44 closed for over 5 hours yesterday evening. The crash happened a little bit before 6 p.m. with a pickup driving eastbound in the westbound lanes of 44 west of 109, striking one vehicle which swerved to avoid it, then hitting a tractor-trailer which ended up leaving the roadway and overturning, and then striking a third vehicle before the wrong-way driver in the pickup passed away. The driver of the tractor-trailer also suffered moderate injuries. Roger Brand, KMOX News.
Education news that matters to you.
Less than a week after the Post-Dispatch found unauthorized buses taking St. Louis Public School students to class, the district acknowledges it has suspended service through one vendor. It says the contractor was not complying with safety standards. The Post identifies that vendor as Reed to Reed, which was previously a home health care company. None of its buses have been inspected by the Highway Patrol or have the proper markings or equipment. The Post also found two unmarked buses still dropping off students today. Meantime, SLPS says it has hired a former manager with the troubled Missouri Central Bus Company as its assistant director of transportation. A new traffic signal and crosswalk are coming to Chippewa 2 years after two people, including a teenager, were killed while trying to cross the street to get to Ted Drew's. Brian Dillon of the family that owns the frozen custard stand was asked about the delay.
People are clamoring for something to happen, but if something happens and it's not the right thing, then it won't fix anything.
Families tell Fox 2 they're looking forward to new concrete bollards to help them when they're getting their frozen custard concretes.
I mean, you've got so many families with young kids here, and the fact that there's no physical barrier preventing, blocking you from the road I think having something like that would be really beneficial.
Coming up, we'll talk with the alderman for the area about why it took 2 years to get the changes in effect. The KMOX business desk public relations firm Fleischman Hillard is leaving downtown St. Louis after being there since 1963. The firm confirms to KMOX the relocation, but says, quote, we will continue to advocate for St. Louis as our headquarters and home. Fleischman Hillard is moving to Clayton, which a spokesperson says is closer to the firm's clients. As the news continues on KMOX, changes are coming to the stretch of Chippewa in front of the famous Ted Drew's Frozen Custard, 2 years after two deaths there. Let's hear from Alderman Tom Oldenburg about the improvements that are coming.
Yes, certainly. So after kind of a long and painstaking back and forth between the city and the proprietor on just design concepts, we finally have landed on what we think is a path forward to bring a good amount of traffic and pedestrian safety to the Chippewa Avenue right there in front of the custard stand. There's going to be over $500,000 of safety enhancements and improvements, and there's going to be a stoplight and a crosswalk. There's going to be protective bollards for those patrons in line to get custard. And there's also going to be an enhancement of the lighting in the area so that more attention can get drawn to the roadways.
It's been a couple of years since two people were killed crossing Chippewa in relation to Ted Drew's. And, you know, anecdotally, there have been some folks getting a little riled up over a car that hit a fire hydrant. And real quick, there was a bollard put up around the fire hydrant. And so people wondering why 2 years to protect people walking across the street.
It's a fair question. I'm as disappointed as anyone else. I take my family there. Ted Drew's is an icon. It's a busy business, and it's disappointing that it's taken so long to get movement on this. I think both the city and the proprietor kind of share the blame, right? When you have a busy business, there's a lot of back and forth. We want to make sure that we're not impacting the business in a negative way, but also providing general safety to the residents and to our visitors in the city. So I think everyone sort of shares the blame on why it took so darn long. The good news here is that we're finally on a path forward. We are in construction. Equipment has been ordered. We're getting ready to break ground and start construction later this winter. And all improvements should be completed by next custard season.
Is this something that's coming out of the street department budget, or is this ward capital? Is there a split? You know, it kind of seems like the signalized intersection and crosswalk might fall under public expenditure, but the bollards, is that something that Ted Drew's is paying for? Can you kind of walk us through, I guess, how this is happening?
Sure. The capital stack is as such, which is ward capital dollars have been used. We're using ARPA dollars from a transportation safety fund that the Board of Aldermen and the mayor approved a couple of years ago. We are also in constant contact with MoDOT, right? They have to be able to have approval to this, but we've been keeping them in the loop every step of the way. So between ward capital, ARPA dollars, and the proprietor, Ted Drew's, is looking at potentially spending a little bit of their own money on restriping and repaving some of the parking lot. But the bollards, the equipment around the signal, along with all the paint and additional concrete and infrastructure, will all be bore by the city.
Now, moving forward, when another situation like this comes up, would the city be open to considering, and maybe this is a question more for the Board of Public Service, but would the city be open to more quick fixes, painting, you know, a crosswalk on there? I've seen other cities that, you know, have put yield signs up or lighted signs in the street that aren't necessarily kind of a wholesale structural change, like moving curb cuts and putting in a traffic light. Would the city, do you think, should the city be open to more quick fixes in the meantime in situations like this?
Absolutely, Michael. I'll tell you this. We kind of went for a home run here and gathered what would be a wholesale change. And looking back, there probably could have been short-term, medium, and long-range improvements that we made so that you're addressing safety incrementally.
Now, zooming out and thinking about pedestrian and cyclist safety in the city in general, especially because a lot of people choose to live in the urban part of the area as opposed to the suburbs because they want that walkability and that safety when they're not in a car. But I'm thinking about, you know, other spots on Chippewa and Hampton, whether it's Wilmore Park or there's a popular Mexican restaurant where there are not lights, there are no crosswalks, people just dart across the road. Maybe this goes back to quick fixes because you can't put a signal every few feet. What do you think can be done, should be done to make it better for pedestrians in general, especially in those kinds of situations?
Absolutely. I think one thing that's going to help is there is a transportation and mobility plan that is being drafted as we speak. We utilized ARPA dollars to facilitate and draft that plan. And that's really going to be our barometer, right? Our North Star on how do we and where do we make traffic safety enhancements for pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists, right? So I think that plan will help guide where we put our resources. And putting our resources into a phased approach, as you mentioned, is got to be the way forward, where there can be a short-term fix with better lighting, more awareness to a certain intersection that has a lot of crash data. But then also, can we then backfill when we get more money and the plan tells us, here are recommendations to make around bump outs, around better paint. All of those aspects need to be part of this, where our plan is dictating where we put the dollars to save the most lives and keep people the safest.
Alderman Tom Oldenburg, thank you so much, as always, for being with us on KMOX. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Michael. Thank you.